Have you ever been in the situation of having an acquaintance? Someone you know, but you really don't know who they are. Maybe a neighbor or a fellow member of an organization, a fellow worker, or just someone you happen to meet at a social gathering. We see one side of his or her life and not the rest. We may even speculate about the rest of their lives, and then, trying not to appear too nosy, we ask questions in order to learn more about them. Then when you think you have placed them in a neat little box of understanding, and you finally know them, something happens or is said which undermines who you thought they were. And we often end up not knowing who they are because in frustration we give up. They then remain a mystery and may be very happy to think that they stay unknown. And often we are on the other end, for we may be that mysterious person whom others seek to know. Just as often we really do not want others to know who we really are. It is safer to have them know just that part of us which we wish to share. To totally expose ourselves may be taking the chance that we will be rejected and persecuted. And who wants to live with such painful results? But when all is said and done, even though we may try to hide or think we have hidden who we are, there will be those who manage to discover what we have tried to hide. We then lay exposed. We are discovered not by what we choose to say or not to say, but what we do, how we react, and what we avoid. In many cases, the saying goes, actions speak louder than words, and that becomes so true. In a very real way, we are more transparent to those who take the time and interest to know us than we wish. Therefore, there are very few people who end up being a total mystery. Now, on this Mother's Day, we can all recall how we may have thought we did a great job in hiding something from our mothers. Guess again. We quickly find out otherwise. If anyone has known us, it is our mothers. A mother seems to have that sixth sense to see through the barriers we place. Perhaps this is because of her love. That love which takes the time to really understand our every word and action. But regardless what she has discovered and knows, there is her love which forgives and uplifts us. Mothers are a very special thing. In many ways, this was the case, though, with Jesus. He had been ministering throughout Galilee and Judea in full and open view of the general populace for nearly 3 years. Stories about him, his teaching, and his miracles had circulated throughout the region. He was not only known by his disciples and close followers, but also by the average person, as well as the Roman and Jewish authorities. Those who had any association with him, either in person or by hearsay, must have had some kind of impression as to who he was. They must have tried to define him as a teacher, a rabbi, a prophet, miracle worker, or magician. And even they may have thought him to be the long-awaited Messiah, or even maybe some kind of self-indulgent false prophet. All attempts to define him into a category which they already knew seemed to fail. Who was this Jesus of Nazareth anyway? In a very real way, he managed to remain a mystery to all. When asked who he was, he would refer to himself as the Son of Man, which has a very loose historic identification with the Jewish Messiah. But the term also referred to a person who had a divine presence, such as a prophet or special religious leader. The Son of Man also can be more. It can be the incarnation, God becoming man. Of course, this was well beyond the imagination of any of the Jesus contemporaries. Jesus, the Son of God. But he never outright referred himself as to be the earthly Messiah. Even was asked directly, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus again refused to claim to be the Messiah, but rather he answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe." Why couldn't he accept this explanation? Jesus further explained who the Son of Man was by stating what he had done. "The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me." Look, you don't have to believe in what I say or who I say I am. All you have to do is to open your eyes in order to see what I have done. I have healed the sick. I have given sight to the blind. I have restored healing to the deaf. I have given the lame the ability to walk. I have calmed the seas, and I have fed 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. The power of such acts does not come from man, but from God the Father. Then he concluded by saying that to know me is to know the Father, since the Father and I are one. You know, this is a recording in the Gospel of John. And it is the intent of the writer of the Gospel of John to define Jesus beyond that of the other three Gospels. John makes no attempt to minimize who Jesus was, but clearly sets out to present Jesus as the Son of God, the very incarnation of God. He writes in the very beginning, "So the Word of God became a person and took up his abode in our being." Again, he wrote, "The Word became flesh." There is no doubt in John's mind who Jesus was. He relates Jesus' words, "I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life." Within John's remembrances of Jesus, there is no doubt that Jesus not only performed acts of God, but he vividly said who he was. The problem which the authorities had was that they were listening from the outside with clouded minds of preconceived thoughts and fears. And Jesus related this. But you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And it is here that Jesus presents one of the basic principles of understanding and knowing another person. In order to have such knowledge, one must engage themselves in a loving relationship with that person. One must personally become involved as a mother with her child. Without that involvement, there can never be any kind of valid understanding and only remain an academic pursuit and playing mind games. Once the commitment is made to become involved through love, then understanding will begin to take place. Therefore, it can be said that once a loving relationship is made of being a follower of Jesus, then the Son of Man's life will begin to be understood. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It is then that there will be the understanding that the Son of Man is not the preconceived Messiah, but the very Son of God who extends God's love and the promise of eternal life to those who follow. No one can take this understanding and promise away. He said, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. Jesus made it clear that he wasn't the traditional Messiah, but the very presence of God himself. This was totally out of the realm of authorities' thinking, so they still did not understand who this Jesus claimed to be. It was well beyond their imagination. But, you know, it's not fair to place such short-sightedness on just the Jewish authorities of that day. Even his closest followers at the time couldn't grasp the true understanding of what he was saying and who he was. What they did have over the authorities was a personal relationship with Jesus, which gave them the avenue ultimately to understand the concept of the Son of Man and the Son of God. This understanding found reality upon the resurrection and the resurrection appearances. It was that commitment to follow, to listen, to experience this Jesus that they found the ultimate truth which they sought, to know who he really was. You know, even though we have the advantage of history and the witness of those who were his followers like John, Jesus can be to us just the same as the Jewish authorities. Maybe just an academic pursuit and thus be outsiders without a clue as to the truth of who he really is. It is only when we immerse ourselves in living his teachings and his life are we able to begin to understand who he is in our lives. As hopefully we know, it is then that we begin to live in the hope of his love, forgiveness, and ultimately eternal life in his care. To become one with him brings our ultimate knowledge of him as the central truth in life. Then we can say, yes, yes, I know Jesus, and I know who he was and who he is. Such knowledge will then bring hope. It will bring life, and it will bring love to all those who seek to know who we are. Today we are reminded of our mothers, through their undying love, have given us a glimpse into this experience of loving relationships, which brings God's love to the world in which we live. And for this experience that we all have had, we give thanks and celebrate Mother's Day. Amen.